Name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The book of Joel has been called a timeless text. And not just in the way that it still speaks to us today in modern life, because really, most of the Bible does that in one way or another. Otherwise, I probably would have run out of things to say by now. And clearly, I have not. No, Joel has been called a timeless text because, quite frankly, we have no idea when it was written. It could have been during the time of Solomon. It could have been later during the fall of Israel. It could have been 400 BC, well after they returned from exile, for all we know. The other prophets help us out. They give us clues by saying, it was the whatevereth year of King so-and-so's reign. Or they reference major historical events that we kind of know when they happened. But Joel doesn't do any of that. He speaks only of the calamity befalling his people as the day of the Lord approaches. And even the nature of that is unclear. The text speaks of locusts devouring the land, but it's just as likely that that's a metaphor to refer to something else. You could almost say that our Old Testament reading tonight lives entirely outside of time. And I think that is what makes it such a perfect way to begin our Lenten sojourn into the darkness of society and our own souls. Because what generation has not needed a reminder to repent and return to God? That was the call of the prophets, whether it's the Old Testament ones like Joel or the New Testament ones like John the Baptist. It was the same plea that Paul made to the church in Corinth when he asked them to be reconciled with God. And it is the same call that the church repeats tonight to us. Each week, we build time into the service, and we confess the things and ask the forgiveness of a loving God. We repent of the wrongs we've done, the wrongs done on our behalf, and the wrongs done by systems that oppress other people. We lament them. We earnestly desire to do better. And with that frame in mind, this season serves as a particular time for us also to make a conscious choice to turn away from darkness and sin and embrace the God who both made us and longs to forgive us. In a moment, you will be asked to do that through prayer, fasting, self-denial, and scripture. That expresses the very long tradition in the church of giving something up for Lent, whether it's something physical or something more abstract. Many people decide to take on something new, either in addition or instead, perhaps reading the Bible or praying more. And there's always sacramental confession available, especially this time of year, if you wish to hear a word of personal absolution. But whatever you choose, hear also the strong words of Jesus, reminding us to avoid acts of piety just for the sake of appearance. If you came here for ashes in order to parade them around town and show off how religious you are, then quite frankly, you've missed the whole point. That is the beautiful contradiction in tonight's liturgy. It reminds us that at the same time, we can be both sinful and holy, both temporal and eternal, both broken and beloved. So indeed, make a noise. Sanctify your fast. Gather the assembly. Have a holy Lent and use it to return to the Lord your God.